Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This NFL Draft and UFC 261 edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynNBet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home to free daily video picks from SGPN. It's like YouTube for sports gambling. Make sure to subscribe to our profile at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. We're also brought to you by Roman. Roman is the straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get roman.com/SGP for $15 off your first month. That's getroman.com/SGP. We're also doing a $500 FCS playoff bracket challenge that is completely free. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/FCS. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/FCS.
Hey, this is Derek Stevens. I'm the owner of Circa Las Vegas. You're listening to SGPN. Let it ride.
Fucking shine box.
Ooh, welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer Dog?
Bonus podcast, Sean. Bonus content. Alert bonus the authorities. Ka-ching. Alert the media. Some of us are doing work.
Yeah, putting in the shifts, cranking out the content. I mean, the draft is right around the right around the corner. We're only what, 7 days now as we tape this to our live NFL draft mega simulcast gamecast special presentation. It's going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to it. 3 hours of just drinking Coors Light and talking about the NFL. It doesn't get any better.
Made me think, Sean, we got to start working more during stuff so I can be working. You know what I mean? I'm working. Yes. I'm sorry. Thursday night, I got a long night.
Long night.
Probably gonna show up late. Maybe
put the kids away.
Maybe gonna need to sleep in a little bit on Friday morning.
Put the kids to bed. Yeah, late start Friday morning. But counting down to the draft, we're going to talk a little bit more draft. And then Jeff Fox from the MMA Gambling Podcast will join us talking UFC 261. That's going to be, again, we hit up Jeff, said, what are the big fights? What are the big pay-per-views? You got to come on our feed and hype up the MMA Gambling Podcast feed. He said UFC 261. That's the one.
So. Newly minted, Sean. Newly minted feed.
Yes.
If you haven't seen the artwork, not much of an artiste myself. Gets me excited.
One of the
artwork gets me excited.
One of the cooler logos we got. And of course, in our never-ending effort to not earn money as a network and to give it all away to the fans, we're giving away $500 in the FCS bracket challenge. So if you've been hesitant to step on the field for the FCS college football season, the playoffs is the perfect time to do it. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/FCS, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/FCS. Sign up, get your bracket going, and let's talk some FCS football. No, man. Whenever we say football, I just have to blast it. Have to hear the NFL song. Going to be playing it all week long. Again, as we count things down, of course, this episode, all the episodes on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network presented by our good buddies over at WynnBET. That's right. You want to win big? Well, you got to head over to WynnBET.com. Sign up there and get that risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, get the details over at WynnBET.com. They got it all. The parlay boost, my personal favorite. Again, Las Vegas comes to you. The excitement of Las Vegas in the palm of your hand. So easy. If you can't make it to Las Vegas, don't worry. Las Vegas comes to you in the form of the WynnBET app. Get. You listen to this podcast. You love betting on sports. You also love convenience. You also love great odds. You also love parlay boosts. You can get it all over at WynnBET.com. Kramer, before we get into our NFL draft takes, this clip kind of went viral, and it was the Portland State college basketball coach, his introductory press conference. Felt like we had to hit on it. I know this is the NFL draft UFC podcast, but sometimes when you hear some amazing coach press conferences, you just got to talk about it.
Sometimes you can turn grit into drip, and I'd welcome this guy to coach the drip squad anytime he'd like. Sean, by the way, did you say his name?
No, I didn't.
It's Jason Coburn. Jace. I'm sorry, Jace. That's why I wanted to bring it up. Kind of in the Kyler camp of names.
Yeah.
He's a coach though, so a little bit older, maybe showing kids it's okay to be called Jace. Jace Coburn, Portland State Vikings.
The other thing is I'm hungry and passionate. I don't eat breakfast in the morning so I can come to work hungry. So when I get to lunch, I'm hungry. And that's just the kind of person I am. I know my 2003 Chevy Tahoe's got a lot of play this week so far, but like, it doesn't have AC and it doesn't have heat. And the reason I do that is so I can practice my mental toughness during the winter when it's cold, and I can practice my mental toughness during the summer when it's hot. That's the type of person I am.
And that's when you just run through the brick wall.
Well, Ryan, that's probably where
you, but you know what the millennials are going to hear, coach. That's stupid.
Yeah. I want to know. I want to know why his 2003 Tahoe was getting so much play prior to his announcement. Also, here's the thing.
I think because that was the no heat, no AC comment.
Oh, okay.
It was like now, he was coming in touted now, as the
if
coach.
If this guy actually had working heat and AC, took it to the mechanic and said, remove that from my vehicle. I want more mental toughness. I want more grit. Then I think this guy deserves to be commended. But if he, like me, had a piece of shit vehicle for a long time, 1991 Ford Escort station wagon, all that thing was a beast until the gas tank exploded. That's a whole nother story. But the Jetta that I had was a complete lemon. The window was broken. Part of it was my fault trying to repair it, but real piece of shit. And I just would drive around Los Angeles with a beach towel over the window. No AC. Heat was the only way the heat worked is if the engine was overheating, you cracked open a vent. That really did bring me a lot of mental toughness, Ryan. But again, it wasn't a mental toughness exercise that I chose to be a part of.
That's not the good kind of mental. You know, I can't wait for the SGPN storytelling series on Sean's horrible car luck.
I really had it. Well, then it all changed when I won $200,000 on DraftKings and got an amazing 2019 Jeep Grand Cherokee Altitude Edition. Kramer. All right, let's talk NFL draft. We've given out some props. We've done our mock draft.
Yes.
Let's why don't we crack open a Coors Light six pack for six refreshing takes on the NFL draft. Maybe
refreshing.
Refreshing take. We're casting a wide net as to what we can hit on. It can be hot takes or anti
cold is refreshing sometimes.
Yeah. Ice cold takes to other people's hot takes. We let it pretty wide open. Just six things. Kramer, I'll let you kick things off. Crack open your first one.
Historically a contrarian.
Yes.
I've made a lot of money in my life being a contrarian.
FTP, fade the public.
Happy to fade the public. When in doubt, go the other way. Zig when everyone's zagging. All I see on the media. Here's my theory. We've been just waiting so goddamn long to, as Dave Gettleman said, put our hands back on people.
You can finally touch people this year. You can
finally touch them.
Didn't he have a quote last year that it's going to be tough because you can't get in the same room and get a good smell of them?
I mean, talk about a man with a consistent message. Something country needs more of, Sean.
The messaging's all over the place. But we gave
Gettleman's messaging crystal clear, baby.
We gave Rex Ryan a lot of crap for his obvious foot fetish, and I feel like. You know,
Gettleman's a Jersey guy. He's not Gettleman.
Gettleman has been fortunate as an NFL GM to live in this post kink shame era where none of this is raising the red flags or creating the jokes that other bygone eras would have been big on.
I feel like with the way this episode's already started, we might be bumping UFC at the end of it. I don't know. Look, here's the first one. Everyone is talking about how everyone is going to trade down.
Yes.
Incessantly. I get it. The more
a lot of calls,
we are moving closer and closer to a world where everyone is just a fantasy owner of their own team. We're going to do a fan based transactions. Why hire GMs when you can just crowdsource it, right? Like that's where we're headed. The convergence of the neural net, the fan neural network with the AI, with the front office. But seriously, why is it just recency, or have we not had more trade discussions, more trading down opportunities, more teams that should trade up than ever before? I've a lot of hype on what I'm about to say, but I don't think anyone trades down on draft night in the first 10 picks.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah, let's walk through it. Jacksonville, we know where they're going to go. A quarterback. Yes. Jets, we know where they're going to go. A quarterback. 49ers, we feel pretty certain they're going to go quarterback. Pick what kind of the draft starts with three. I think you and I both firmly think we know where it's going, but pick four. Let's assume the odds on favorite thing has happened. And we've had the three quarterbacks, Mac Jones being the third one, go off the board top three. If you're the Falcons, I think one of two things happens here. You either realize that you're in, like, you have a hometown quarterback option in Justin Fields from not far away, or you do the smart thing and just take Kyle Pitts, a generational talent, just like Julio Jones, who people are going to be clamoring for, but why not take him yourselves? Bengals, we know they're going to take a line. I mean, again, you can't not take a lineman, your quarterback, just your franchise.
I think surgery.
Just let me keep going, because it's more of just like they could get destroyed if they're wrong and they trade back. And I think that's why teams don't often trade back from high profile positions, because you're giving someone else the opportunity to be right in a big fucking way. And I think with Kyle Pitts, although I'm on the other side of the argument, you guys are right. He has the highest ceiling probably in the class. So do you really want to be the team that passed on him to trade down and grab some dude no one knows about 5 years from now? Dolphins, they traded up for a reason. The buzz about them trading back is galaxy brain bullshit. They traded up for a reason. That reason is Ja'Marr Chase. He will be there.
My mock draft has him going to the Bengals.
Okay. Anyway, I think all of these picks, what I'm really laying out is the reason why this team is not trading. Because again, you have to have a team that wants to trade up and give enough for that team to want to go down. And all of the theories have the teams trading out of the top 10, Sean.
Yeah.
And that just seems like your drop off in talent is huge. So let me continue. Detroit Lions, are you really think they're going to pass up an opportunity to take the top defensive player in a season where Dan Campbell has said, we're going to change the identity? You're on this camp, right? You're on the idea that they're going to take a defensive player. Well,
and a little just other stuff. They do have now Chris Spielman, who is like a hardcore old school football guy. He's not the GM, but he clearly has a presence in the Detroit Lions organization. I was listening to Lombardi. He was bringing that up. Hometown
pass rusher.
Yeah.
Right up in Michigan.
I mean, Quiddy Pay, Mika Parsons. Those are
okay.
Micah Parsons. Panthers, someone correct him.
Got to get the offensive lineman. You can't pass on an opportunity to get one of the top linemen. Denver Broncos. I know everyone thinks they're going quarterback. If they get here and there's two quarterbacks sitting there, they might take one. They also might take a cornerback. They might do something to help that defense. Elway might realize I need to get out of this a little bit. And part of that is because too many quarterbacks. Let's go a second year with this guy. His shoulder was fucked up all season. Maybe, just maybe, it wasn't fully that Drew Lock sucks. So I think we do. And then when you get to the Cowboys, I'm very surprised if they do anything but take the cornerback. So again, I just navigated the top 10 picks where no one trades back, because again, if you're Atlanta and you're going to trade back to 19 where the Redskins are, like, who's coming up that far and who wants to fall that far? The only working theory that makes sense to me is if you're the Falcons and you're like, maybe getting some picks next year makes sense, because maybe but it's weird because you're kind of like tanking on this season already. Anyway, the hot take, not so hot take. I just don't think the trades are going to be there.
Okay.
On draft night. I'm going to caveat that on draft night.
I think that, again, I keep repeating this, Washington football team ends up with Trey Lance. So I think they may go up to 7 or 8 to get him in front of the Broncos. That I think is your biggest concern.
But again, if you're, let's play that game. If you're Detroit,
but they might white knuckle it and just wait it out. Cause if once he gets past Denver, then I think it's home free until a Washington.
If you're Carolina or Detroit, it's again, it's one thing if you're trading back 4 picks, 5, where the Giants or Eagles are.
Yeah.
It's another to say, you know what? I don't want any of these top tier guys. Because now if you go down to where the Redskins, the football team is.
And now that you lay it out, I think Detroit is less likely to trade down, but I think Carolina is still that one because they gave up picks for Sam Darnold. Maybe
pick up some picks, maybe.
Well, but I mean, when we're talking about Detroit, the new era, the new addition, like they're going to want to put a stamp on the franchise. And you do that with the top 10 pick. So Carolina, I think, is the only maybe exception there, but I think you're right about all the rest.
And I believe the Detroit GM came from the rant from Les Snead, the camp of if you like a player, go fucking get the player. Don't constantly trade back for future assets that you may or may not need. So anyway, that's the I think we're gonna want to see a lot of trades. I think there could be a shitload of trades in like the last 7 picks of the draft. Teams coming back up
first round, yeah.
Sorry, of the first round, because there's gonna be a tremendous amount of receivers. I think that's what the conversation is gonna kind of like move to, is how many good fucking receivers we're gonna have at the top of the second round. So maybe we'll see teams coming in to grab those guys at the end of the first round.
But and I've been on record, the Eagles are going to trade up at some point. They have 11 picks. They're not gonna draft 11 guys. And this draft in particular, because of the weird, some schools getting an extra, some players getting an extra year of eligibility, whatever. This is kind of like a thinner draft class overall. And again, limited tape, limited game. Like these picks this year aren't seen as valuable as picks next year. All right. My first refreshing take. I'm going to say it. Going to go out on a limb, Ryan. Trevor Lawrence will not be the best quarterback in this class. Mm. Now,
What are we boxing this? How are we defining this?
Well, I like to go, I'm a QB playoff wins guy. That to me matters. Playoff wins, QB wins. I think we'll have an idea that he's not the guy in 5 years from now. Now, again, hedging my bets because maybe he balls out and completely blows everyone out of the way. But I just, Zach Wilson against Joe Theismann, really, he laid it out for us. Again, we were on, Zach Wilson at -150 will be the second pick. Gave that out months ago, and now you can't get that less than like -2000. I'm just, I don't know. Trevor Lawrence, the Jaguars. Some of these quotes about how he can live without football, the Urban Meyer effect. Just the fact that it's in Jacksonville.
You don't
know. The fact that there's maybe a chance they end up in London. I just think the situation isn't going to be as clean as everyone wants it to be. Now, it's tough to look at his game and specifically say like he does X, Y, or Z wrong. You know, you can nitpick some stuff in film study, but it's just, again, this is more my gut telling me he's not the guy. And
it's a really hot take because he checks
all the boxes. But to me, I don't know, like Andrew Luck, a more pure prospect to me than Trevor Lawrence. There's just something about it.
Cause Andrew Luck is kind of regarded as one of like, he's kind of a benchmark in terms of a prospect, like I can't quote unquote, can't miss. Oops. We didn't realize he was going to lose interest in football and want to backpack in Europe, but can't miss prospect. I think here's the area where I think Trevor Lawrence checked the box too many times. And it's strangely is hurting him. Well, he's still going to be the first pick, but I think for the people that are bored about him and kind of have this angle, which I think there are, if you want to break down his footwork and accuracy, you can make a case for why, I don't know if he's going into the best situation to clean some of that stuff up. And that's the thing that I think why I like the angle is Urban Meyer can fail and we're going to be happy when he fails. And I think Urban Meyer failing can really affect Trevor Lawrence. But here's the thing, the guy's gotten the reps at the highest competition level in college. He's not one of these like one season starters.
Again, this is just my gut rumbling telling me something is not going to be right with Trevor Lawrence. It's just
you're saying his teammates didn't go to his birthday party.
Nah, I just think, you know, he already got married. That's always a red flag. So, Wentz was downhill after he got married.
I have nothing against marriage, but like you really, there's a, I mean, I know we're now the old guys telling the young guy, if I could do it all over again, test drive as many vehicles as possible. You know what I'm talking. I just, you know, you're about to be the number one pick of the draft, bro.
Yeah.
At a minimum,
you're selling Dogecoin when it hits 1 cent. Like, hold on, hodl a little bit, Trevor Lawrence. Stock is only rising. What's your next one, Kramer?
All right. So, you know, kind of, I do think that the first round is going to be a little bit different than people think. I'm going to break it down as I get to my point. Three quarterbacks, two wide receivers, two linemen, one tight end, one quarterback, and one linebacker or defensive lineman is what I think the first round will be. You'll notice I only said three quarterbacks. I think we have a couple quarterbacks slide. I'm thinking it's going to be Fields and Trey Lance. Trey Lance, I think, gets really interesting, Sean. I almost made the hot take with the 11th pick in the 2021 NFL draft. The Giants trade down with the New England Patriots, who take Trey Lance, who can slot into an offense with Cam Newton quite nicely. I think he might still be there at that point. I don't think Denver is going quarterback. So my hot take based on that, multiple quarterbacks fall out of the top 10, but Justin Fields is the guy who gets the Aaron Rodgers treatment, because as you've mentioned, Sean, you look at the teams once, if he slides past even the Patriots, like, are they really going to take a quarterback? People who use the argument and say, look, the Patriots are going all in this year. They're spending all the free agency money. So they're going to draft a rookie. That makes no fucking sense.
Patriots are the hardest team anyway, to wrap your head around as far as these mocks.
I think something smells about Justin Fields.
Long release.
Something smells a little bit about Justin. Again, there's a handful of reasons to be concerned. He looks like a fun prospect. The pro tape looked good, or the pro day tape looked good.
Certainly that game against Clemson, but where he got injured and came back, that was awesome.
But again, you just look at the schematics of the draft, and I think unless it's a team saying fuck it, we got like. The inefficiency is, I don't think the fifth quarterback should go in the 20s. I think he goes into the 20s, and I think maybe it's 19, 20 where it stops, because those teams would be crushed. Like, they would get killed maybe that's where the slide has to end.
If Washington football team's on the clock and Justin Fields is there, I don't see how
a bad experience with Dwayne Haskins,
the Ohio State thing. And I think it's real. I mean, the Eagles somewhat dipping their toe and possibly being interested in a quarterback and not interested in Trey Lance at all. Howie would have to worry for his safety if the Eagles drafted Trey Lance, simply because he also went to North Dakota State, and there's no way
That would be really fucked up. But yeah, I think we have a quarterback slide, and I think it's going to be Mr. Justin Fields.
Here's my other refreshing take, Ryan, and kind of sticking off of my first refreshing take, Mac Jones will be the rookie of the year. And here's why. It's less a pro Mac Jones is awesome. And again, you can get Mac Jones at plus 1100 right now to win offensive rookie of the year. It's less like Mac Jones is awesome, but more, I think Mac Jones is going to end up in a really good situation. Yeah. Now, if he goes to the 49ers and Shanahan, let's be honest, Jimmy G, you really think he's going to be a day one starter? You just can't unload all these picks. I mean, hell, they had who are the other quarterbacks? I'm blanking on the who are the other 49ers quarterbacks?
It doesn't matter.
No, but I mean like Nick Mullins was like close to starting over Jimmy G. Beat hard. Like, there's no way.
These dudes were at least like bringing excitement to the end of games when they're so. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the example that you could use is last year with Herbert and Tyrod. I don't think we thought Herbert was going to be quite the.
Well, I was high on Herbert.
Herbert and Mac Jones actually quite similar in that they kind of were guys who, you know, Herbert started higher and kind of fell and became the boring guy, and Mac Jones also kind of the boring guy.
Well, and Mac Jones,
I think it's probably unfair to compare even Mac Jones and Herbert. Herbert just a better prospect, but to your point, if whoever lands on the 49ers is going to be set up. Now, granted, wins and losses may be tough, but a lot of talent around there. And
no, but I mean, I think that's the thing. I think Mac Jones is going to end up on a team that's going to be pretty decent. Cause what are the Mac Jones destinations besides 49ers, which we think he's probably going to end up, could also end up on the Broncos. I mean, him on that Broncos team, like he's to me is an upgrade over Drew Lock. I think he can settle the quarterback position a little bit there. Maybe bring some playmaking ability there. Or maybe he ends up with the New England Patriots. If, and again, the Saban connection to Belichick, they were linked to him very early on in the process. And then he kind of quote unquote skyrocketed up the boards and seemed out of the reach of the Patriots. If Mac Jones goes to the Patriots again, is he better than Cam Newton? Hell yeah. You put all this free agent talent around him. Yeah. He just seems like a guy who is going to end up on a team that's going to go 8-9, 9-8, such maybe even 10-7.
Such a weird thing to hear. The way that you naturally just spit that out is concerning.
Well, and again, I'm keeping a list of people who don't know the 17 game season, and I'm disappointed in the audience. We set out a call to action of shaming these other podcasts, and I know some of you listen to other podcasts. So send us in other podcasts messing up the 17 game season. We're going to just start roasting them because I've already got a couple.
Yeah, mainly in my chamber. Stephen A. Like anytime Stephen A. screws that up, that'd be great.
It's awesome. All right, Kramer, what's your last refreshing take?
And by the way, again, it's a prop I gave out, but the Justin Fields one, if you like what I said, you can find over 3.5 or 4.5 different juice, but I took the over 4.5 with the plus juice because the slide will happen. All right. Less about what's going to happen like on the quote unquote field for the draft and more about the off the field shenanigans. Last year, the whole world was trying to figure out Zoom, and the fact that they pulled it off without really any hitches was pretty impressive. I mean, they did think it was okay to shoot the whole thing in Roger Goodell's basement. Maybe choose a different location.
There.
But now these teams, they know. We've learned a lot about video conferencing. We've learned a lot about how to do things better, make it look better, the aesthetics of the situation. We're going to learn a lot about, you're going to learn a lot about your favorite team's ability to plan, be prepared, play like a champion. Some might say Joe Theismann chiming in the conversation because you know, we're in LA of course. And we see it, right? We see what happens. The Rams, they're heading to Malibu for the draft where they've rented out a mansion, 9,000 square feet, Sean, the Rocket Mortgage draft house.
And I see the logos in the pool. It's just, come on guys.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's a little bit like, are the Rams going to set up a Patreon next and start asking for $5 a month from their fans to get a little Sean McVay anyway. So I'm excited to see what the different teams do. I mean, we remember the Kingsbury, and I'll get back to him in a second. You know, Mike Zimmer with the all-time goat background, just like animals on the wall
mounted.
So like, I want to know
Belichick's
like,
dog Nike making picks.
Yeah, he's down in the Bahamas with you know with his summer ladies.
Jerry Jones on his yacht.
So I'm excited to see what your favorite team thinks is the appropriate level of like,
yeah,
drip. That's great. And
like what are they going to show off? Cause
everyone saw Cliff Kingsbury last year.
He kind of set the bar. And I think it got, again, most of these coaches are alphas, and I think they're competitive. They want to outdo each other. I think the Rams doing the Rocket Mortgage House feels like a shot right at Cliff Kingsbury, right?
And you know, when asked about this, Cliff said, "Yeah, I really think it's a ploy by McVay, of course, his close personal friend. At least the press release said so, to allow himself the opportunity to take his shirt off again and jump in the pool like he did on Hard Knocks. Probably sip a little rosé, dip in the ocean, and make some draft picks." Now, while I'd be happy to be able to dip in the ocean and make some draft picks, I've fantasy drafted from the side of the beautiful Mexican Ocean. Mm. Done it before. It's nice. Rosé,
Atlantic Ocean,
I
Pacific,
the Pacific.
Okay,
near Zihuatanejo. Okay. Shout out to Red. Hopefully, he's still doing all right. And yeah, like I think the real shot came with the rosé. For a grown man to tell another man, "Why don't you go sip on some rosé?" I'm gonna read between the lines, and I'm hearing you loud and clear. So I think you know, maybe some. I'm kind of excited to see what like the manly teams do. Like, what are the? I want to see what the Steelers are up to, or the Vikings.
Yeah, Tomlinson.
What's Pete Carroll going to think is the appropriate way to show off the draft?
That's a good question. Yeah, we'll see how much they.
Pete
they
Carroll's amp just it up. Got a big poster board with like red string tied together. Still trying to track down building
some,
seven.
Some feet. Photos of the Pentagon of the play not going in.
So yeah, I mean, it's more of just a thing to look for. I'm very, very excited to see the presentation of the draft this year because like they have no excuse. Everyone knows that. Like every my 9 year old can throw up a fucking sick virtual background and make it look like she's anywhere. So what are these guys going to do?
All right, Kramer, my last refreshing take. The Eagles will draft a quarterback. Not in the first round, but the quarterback will be Kyle Trask out of Florida. Mm. I've been putting together the pieces of this puzzle. One, Howie Roseman loves drafting from his alma mater, Florida.
Yep.
They haven't drafted an Alabama player in like 2 years. It's very weird. And there's a good chance they draft someone in the first round at the 12th spot. Like if there's one of the Alabama guys available, either Surtain, Devonta Smith, or Jalen Waddle, they have to draft them. But it's so weird they haven't drafted an Alabama player. But he loves drafting Florida guys. Oh. I mean, again, Riley Cooper is actually the only receiver in the Howie Roseman era that he re-signed to a second contract.
That's hilarious considering the guys they passed.
Now, Kyle Trask, I think he had a horrible bowl game, which really like dropped him off everyone's radar. But I think he's worth taking a shot on in the third round. The Eagles have multiple third round picks, and the former Florida offensive coordinator is now the QB coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. There's just too many connections, and the Eagles say they want to bring in competition for Hurts. Joe Flacco clearly isn't that competition. I think Kyle Trask makes a lot of sense. They have the extra third round pick. If he's on the board in the third round, I think they take a shot. Now maybe Trask goes late second if someone falls in love with him, but he really had a good year. I mean, again, I was sitting on him to win the Heisman at like 25-1 preseason. It was looking pretty good there for a while, fell apart at the end, but I think he's worth taking a shot on.
I mean, I think there's probably value in that second tier of quarterbacks because of how much so people are clamoring for the first tier.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I gave out a Kellen Mond prop in terms of, I think the third round, you're going to see a couple, probably at least one team take a quarterback with one of their compensatory picks, if not their regular pick. So yeah, I was actually trying to pull up the odds on that. I think there's Kyle Trask, you think third round?
Yeah. What's the third round?
+125.
Okay.
Second round is +250. Fourth round is +225.
So it does seem like the odds are saying they're thinking third round.
I just think the fact that you get an extra 12 picks or whatever it is, like I know they're aware of this, but if as a Joe Square public, whoever, you know, be like, just literally go to Wikipedia. Well,
you know, what's really funny is because when you were out of the office earlier today, I was talking with Colby. He's working on his, War and Peace, AKA his 7 round mock draft that he Colby volunteered to do. And then just watching him slowly, you know, dig through it. And he looks up off his laptop. He goes, God damn, there's a lot of picks in the third round. Cause he has to, you know, not to pull back the curtain too far, but we have a Google Sheets template for the mock drafts. And it's 1 and 2 rounds. And then once the third round hits, there's all these extra picks that you have to copy and paste and reformat the whole spreadsheet. So he was supposed to talk to you about that, Kramer. So look forward to helping the database sort through all those compensatory picks. All right, we're going to get to some UFC 261. Before we get to that, want to shout out Roman. That's right. Looking for a little lead in your pencil, looking to get back. Get your game back. You know, I mean, obviously in sports, you know, you see it all the time. Someone misses a three putt, missing some free throws, clutch spot, just coming up a little bit short. Again, if ED is an issue with you, and again, you can convince yourself it's not, but let's be honest. If you're having an issue, one, it could be a serious health issue. And to me, if my erection's not working, that is a serious health issue.
That's a big time problem.
I'm going to getroman.com/SGP. And the best part is free online evaluation. I mean, online, again, a lot of reason why guys put off getting treatment or talking about it is because you have to go to the doctor. You have to have that conversation, but now you can do it from your laptop, from your Zoom. makes it way easier. And again, if medication is appropriate, they'll ship it to you free. 2-day shipping, straightforward, discreet. All you got to do is go to getroman.com/SGP, complete the online visit. And again, take care of your ED without leaving home. It doesn't get any easier than that. Go to getroman.com/SGP to get $15 off your first month. A straightforward way to take care of your ED. Getroman.com/SGP. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment. Joining us on the line, the co-host of the MMA Gambling Podcast, Jeff, the Arctic Fox. What's happening, Jeff?
I'm the main host, by the way. I'm not a co-host.
The main host.
Dan is the associate host. I am the host.
coming in with the flamethrower. Well, by the way,
we got to get things straight off the get-go.
Love the nickname. I think it's the first time I've heard Sean say it.
Yeah, I don't know if we were joking around in Slack or if we talked about it the last time, but Jeff is from Canada and Arctic Fox is just such a badass.
I feel like
name.
You're applying a stereotype or two there, but it is a good name.
Well, he also, they literally, didn't you just have a blizzard, Jeff?
We did. We had a blizzard today and it's what, April 22nd. Yeah. Yeah, it was beautiful.
Sean, I had a blizzard a couple days ago on 420.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Different storm front there. Well, yeah. And of course, if you guys haven't already subscribed, make sure you do it. Jeff and Gumby do a great MMA gambling podcast called the MMA Gambling Podcast. It's got its own feed now, climbing up the charts, and we're having a conversation. It's now top 100 podcast.
Oh. Yes,
in the good old United States, in the wrestling category, and it's hilarious because you know Apple they seem to have it all figured out, but they don't have a separate martial arts MMA category. So I mean, what does it feel like dominating the wrestling charts here?
I think my parents think I'd do a wrestling podcast anyhow, so this is probably fitting, I guess. I feel good actually, because that's probably like the most competitive category you could be put in nowadays. Everybody's got a wrestling podcast nowadays, so yeah, it feels great.
Just the progressive nature of Apple, and for them to not have figured out that there's other like the categories they don't worry, they have outdoor covered. They got outdoor
so
covered.
So odd.
But you know, anyway, no, Sean, we were commenting on this earlier, but it might be the sexiest cover art on the network. Yes.
The logo for the MMA Gambling Podcast, top notch, very very on point. Now, I know you guys covered it on your podcast, but worth mentioning here as well. What was the takeaway from the Ben Askren Paul fight? I mean, again, someone had a great tweet. They said, "I watched this on an illegal stream, and I still want my money back." I felt like I had the same feelings. Where it's like, dude, I mean, again, I get it.
Money's green, bro.
$500,000. I would take $500,000 to get knocked out in the ring. And what's your take, Jeff?
Well, it was just basically more annoyance than anything, because there was a real like legitimate UFC event that night that we were trying to cover, and my feed was just full of like Justin Bieber and like whatever Oscar De La Hoya was on that night, and it was just it was ridiculous. But I did get I got traffic to my MMA site based off of that. I write nothing about Jake Paul, but you know, it did bring exposure to the sport, whether good or bad, it brings the numbers in. So, but Ben Askren never made $500,000 a fight in the UFC.
That's the sure. crazy he part.
He was making maybe 50 grand. I think maybe he was making a fight.
Yeah, that is crazy. And long-term with the sport, do you think, and again, as fight fans, the issue with boxing was there never was like one commissioner, so you didn't get the fights you wanted. But again, all these different
but they got paid.
Yeah, they got paid, and all these different hands in the pie ended up creating a big pie and whatever, but also kind of maybe led to its downfall in popularity. But now UFC comes in, kind of the dominant MMA game. But then again, Dana can really, you know, keep an eye on everyone's money. And again,
player empowerment hasn't hit MMA.
Well, yet. But in his defense, UFC does seem bigger than any of these people. And we've had these moments where like UFC has the biggest star, and then eventually they get knocked out and then they're just gone. Yeah. And then UFC keeps motoring on. Do you think there's ever going to be a sea change of how UFC and MMA is structured?
I don't think, unless they're absolutely forced to, whether like through like legal actions, like the Alley Act or which I don't know a whole lot about, but I hear it talked about a lot. They've tried to, fighters have tried to put unions together, but it's never gotten past like talk, individualistic sport. Like you don't really have, no one seems to have their back, each other's back in it. They're all out for, you know, for themselves, which, you know, short careers, and it's an insane thing to do for a living. So you can understand that. But unless someone huge like Conor McGregor and all the top people actually bandy together and hold the UFC's feet to the fire, then no, it's not gonna change. And and I don't see them ever having a union or anything like that. And UFC will keep paying what they pay unless they're forced to do otherwise.
Well, I mean, Matt, you want to talk about a population of individuals who are willing to cross picket lines. I'd imagine there's a decent amount in the fight game.
Oh so, yeah. I mean, if you're willing to just randomly fight Nate Diaz for $10,000, you're not like up on union politics. You're just a guy who doesn't mind getting punched in the face and hate Nate Diaz. Now you mentioned Conor McGregor. What's next for McGregor? He's kind of had a weird career here after peaking in the UFC.
Well, he's had, he lost his last time I was on, which was, I think was January. You finally had me back. Boy, your ratings must be dipping. So you had me back 3 months later, but, he is fighting the same man again, Dustin Poirier. They're having part three of their fight in July in T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. So that is what's next for him in terms of UFC. But you're hearing talk about Jake Paul. It's not a joke. You're hearing eventually that's probably the end game for Jake Paul is to box Conor McGregor.
And honestly, holy, it kind of makes sense because Conor McGregor,
like, hold on a second.
Sorry, Jake Paul, he hasn't really boxed anyone who's known as a boxer. Will Mormon in our chat had a great line. He goes, Nate Robinson's the best boxer he's faced. And I think Jake Paul, I can't tell. Like, he seems like a kind of decent boxer, but we won't really know until he faces a legit boxer. And maybe Conor McGregor's the closest he'll get.
This is the fucking prequel to Idiocracy. That's what we're witnessing right now. Jake Paul's rise to fame. And next thing you know, he's fucking ruling the country.
I mean, it's easy to make fun of him, but he did just come in and knock out Ben Askren, who, again, isn't a striker, isn't known as a boxer, and kind of a small guy. He had a huge reach advantage.
This weird, like, juxtaposition of Jake Paul taking his life seriously and Ben Askren just being like, give me my $500,000.
Yeah, he is an Olympic combat athlete who was a champion in two major organizations. So it just, if it was a real fight, he would have mauled him, but it wasn't a real fight. It was a boxing match. So
there you go.
That's what happens.
All right. We're going to get to the UFC 261 picks real quick. Want to shout out Better Than Vegas. That's right. Every day on Better Than Vegas, giving out free daily video picks. Jeff is in the rotation, giving out picks, plugging the MMA gambling podcast, talking UFC, and you can follow our profile there. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. And just, give us a follow there.
Our BTV page has a strong beard game.
Yes.
I'm going to say
I've noticed that.
We have a strong beard.
Tons of beards in there. Well, now Colby's no longer a team beard. He shaved it off.
Yeah, we'll have to talk to him about that.
Yeah, we have a company policy here. And then also make sure you check out Riffer. We got some micro podcasts, as they're called, under 3 minutes, dropping, doing four of them a week. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Riffer. That's RIFFR. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Riffer. All right. First fight that's jumping out at me that I think is worth hitting on, Uriah Hall versus Chris Weidman. What's the take here? I'm seeing Uriah Hall a +105 dog.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that number right there. Chris Weidman used to be the middleweight champion many, many years ago.
Yeah.
He still thinks he has it. Despite being 36 and being knocked out five times in his past seven fights, flatlined, knocked out. So, once you lose your chin, it doesn't come back. His chin is gone. Uriah Hall is a fearsome striker, knockout artist. So I'm thinking the line is that way because they think Weidman's just going to wrestle him, which it would be the smart thing to do. Hall is not very good at defensive wrestling, and Weidman was a like collegiate All-American, I believe, in wrestling. But I'm betting on Hall cracking him before land, and Weidman cannot take a shot anymore. But he doesn't seem to realize that he can't take a shot anymore, so he still eats punches. So I think that's a good recipe for some nice live dog money there.
I mean, the wrestler head, neck, shoulder is just ripe for the like, oh, I'm just gonna forget the knockout, not because I want to forget it, but because my brain's not working correctly. And I think we've seen a number of fighters do this where they go a little bit too long. And Uriah Hall, I think he was like one of the reality show guys who was really exciting. Kind of like at the time it was like, ooh, this guy has the potential to be one of those exciting knockout, like we'll throw a kick, not really sure where he's going to come from. And yeah, like isn't this one of these fights that you catch the highlight because everyone's dropping it on Twitter because Chris Weidman's arms are as stiff as cement, just like pointed up to the sky after he catches like a roundhouse heel to the forehead. It just feels like this isn't going to end well. We do love America, of course, Sean. He is the All-American, but maybe past his prime.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you there, Jeff.
He is chirping for a title shot, though. So it sounds like he's real.
But I think you nailed it, though. And again, you're the expert, but I always love fading guys where there's clearly just an expiration date on fighters, and it's sad.
Exactly.
Where they get knocked out a couple times and their body just knows, like, I think there's something in the back of their head that triggers, like, oh, hey, if I get punched, I can just turn off and this will be over. I don't have to put myself through this trauma. I mean, Manny Pacquiao was a great example. Like once he got knocked out, it was over. And you see it in UFC too.
And there is a certain, I mean, I don't want to pull back the curtain, but as someone who's been knocked out before and been also choked out before, there is a certain feeling.
I feel like I don't know either of those stories.
Well, I mean, I played rugby, knocked out on the field.
Okay.
Choked out. I wanted to know what it felt like. So I had my sister put me in a sleeper hold as a kid. And it's kind of when you come back from it, it's kind of a thrilling feeling. Maybe he's just hooked on that feeling.
Refreshing. All right, we got
a
big
kid. Sure, as a kid, it happened, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it totally wasn't 2 years ago.
wasn't with a belt 6 months ago to Holiday Inn. You know,
it feels so much better, Sean.
We got a big woman's fight here. Zhang Weili or Welly. Again, I'm horrible with pronunciation. She's a minus 200 favorite versus Thug Rose.
You can
Nama Yunus. Yes. What's your handicap on here? You rocking the favorite, Zhang?
I am, but I'm not a huge fan of a number that big for this. Yeah. I think this is the closest title fight that on the card of the three of them. I think this one's probably the closest one, at least on paper. Rose was the champ a few years back. She lost it to Jessica Andrade, who lost it to Weili Zhang, or Zhang Weili, depending on whether you want to Americanize it or not. But I like Zhang just based on the physicality and her striking, but it's, you know, Rose can't be underestimated. She's a thug after all. And she's made this into like better dead than red. And Zhang's from a communist country, so she's going to defeat her and all. Yeah. It's got really jingoistic, which is really, really nice to see.
If you could change, we could change.
Bringing out some Rocky IV vibes. Well, it's again, I'm going to go with the thug here just cause you're handicapping it as close to even. Yes, and if it's that close, I'm scared off of the minus 200. Kramer, what are your thoughts?
I mean, perhaps you could play it another. Yeah, no, I'm not going to lie, Sean. Didn't do a ton of handicapping on this one.
Well, that's why we have Jeff here.
But I wonder if you so you're taking a Rose?
Yeah. Is that what you're saying? I'm going to roll the dice.
So maybe you take
Rose.
Maybe you take a something on Rose ending the fight early.
Yeah, is there, if you like the dog, is there a specific way you think Rose can pull out the upset?
For her to win, well, how would she win, Jeff, if she were to win?
Okay. Well, she's only has 9 pro wins. She's only fought like 13 times, so she's rather young still. More than half of those are via submission. So you would pick submission if you're going to go with a a finish here, but Zhang has never been finished. She lost her what? She lost her pro debut and she's won 21 straight. She's never been finished in a fight. So I'm thinking all three of the title fights are going to go to a decision, which is going to be just torture because it's going to be the night's going to end at like 3 a.m. on the East Coast. It's going to be rough.
All right, so I'm going to take, based on Jeff's guidance, I'm going to take Zhang wins by a unanimous decision +250.
Oh, okay. That is
see what I'm deep diving over.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, that's probably a little better price than the -200. All right, the big fight of the night, Kamaru Usman, a huge -450 favorite versus Jorge Masvidal.
Nice work.
What's your handicap on this match here? Welterweight championship on the line.
Right. They just fought last summer. I think it was on that magical, mystical Fight Island that they had in
Abu Dhabi. About Fight Island.
They fought there. Masvidal fought on short notice. That was his excuse for getting just destroyed for all five rounds. Usman just mopped the floor with him. And I expect the same thing to happen here. Well, he's had a full camp, but it doesn't make a difference. I think Usman's going to wrestle him and basically grind out probably another decision win. You may want to take him if you want a prop, because that number is horrible. Obviously you don't want to take -450s or whatever it is at this point. If you want a prop, you may want to take it depending on what him via decision probably isn't much better.
-130 I'm seeing.
Yeah. Okay. That's a bit better. I would take, if you're going to pick him to win, I would take that via decision, or he's won two of his last three via TKO. So you may want to take him via TKO, which I think is like +300 when we recorded our last podcast. In that range.
Yep. +300. Exactly.
All right. But Masvidal doesn't get finished very often, so that's the one negative there. So that's probably why the number is as high as it is. If you want to bet Masvidal, the only way he would win is via knockout. So if you're going to bet him, you may as well make it an even better number and take him via knockout, because he's not going to wrestle him and win a decision. He's not going to submit him. Like, Usman's just way too strong and way too good of a wrestler and way too smart of a fighter for any of that to happen. His only chance is to, you know, lucky shot him with the flying knee or something crazy like that.
And you see that in the price, because Masvidal to win the fight is +300 or whatever you said, +3. What'd you call it out at, Sean?
Oh, I didn't. I just had Usman.
Seeing between +300, +350, but him to win inside the distance is only +400. Him to win by knockout TKO also only +400.
Yeah, so it seems like there's no value really.
You juice it up a little bit, but obviously they're all suggesting the same thing, that if he wins, he's going to catch him. So maybe if you're a degen and you really want to profit, degens only. Maybe the angle is you sprinkle a little on Masvidal first and finishes in the first, second, or third round. +2,000 for the third round, +1,400 for the second, and +900 for the first.
It's a 5-round fight, right?
If it goes past that, it's over. But I mean, it does seem like the -130 on Usman to win by decision is the proper way to play this, because you can completely absorb that -440 and just, you know, hope he grinds it out again and does something weird doesn't happen.
Now, Jeff, what other, I think the way I would play this is just take the Usman decision, like Jeff was laying out, at -130. I mean, that's
responsible.
Yeah. That's responsible handicapping.
Responsible gambling, guys.
Exactly. Gamble responsibly. Just take the by decision there. Any other dogs, upset, props, stuff that we didn't hit on for UFC 261?
Yeah, let me see. Dog wise, well, I like Uriah Hall. Obviously, we already talked about him. He's a dog. Plus, you know, take him via knockout. I think that's the way he wins that one. So that's going to get you better money. In the prelims, there's a Dragon Girl. Her nickname is. So that's enough reason right there to pick her. Na Liang, I believe, is the name, or Liang Na. She's making her debut, but she's looked very good on. Apparently, I haven't watched her, but on the regional scene in China. She's way bigger than the girl she's fighting. A way better wrestler. I think when we did the podcast, she was at +168. So if you want to take her, she also is is worth. I think that number is getting even higher.
Too, yeah, I'm seeing up to +180 right now.
Yeah, it might maybe worth a splash on her, but obviously it's her debut, so you really don't know for sure what you're going to get. My lock pick of this week, I was perfect on my locks until last week. I finally lost a lock. Yeah, so now the pressure's off, which is good. So, but I'm still obviously doing good with my locks. My lock's Brendan Allen to beat Carl Roberson. Brendan Allen, he was around -155 when I did the show. If you want to make it even better, take him via submission. He's won half his fights via submission, and his opponent has lost all his pro fights of all his pro losses have come via submission. So that seems like a prop for the taking right there.
Sean perked up like he got a blackjack.
Well, and maybe, and again, maybe I'm getting ahead, but Brendan Allen decision parlayed.
Submission.
Oh, you want to parlay it too? What a degen.
Parlayed with Usman decision.
Or and circling back, Uriah Hall to win that fight by knockout TKO. I'm seeing as high as +225.
Ooh.
So yeah,
that's sprinkled in there.
That's a nice juice up from the +110 or whatever he is just to win the fight.
Awesome.
I like it.
Well, appreciate calling in, Jeff. What can people expect on the MMA gambling podcast coming up?
Well, hopefully the one that will drop Sunday will be me telling Dan how stupid he is because I got more picks right than him. That's usually how the podcast goes. He messed it up for the past, 4 weeks because he actually got in a heater. I did too, but he got in a super hot heater. So
it was a company-wide heater.
Exactly. It was. It's true. from the top down. So he really wrecked like the whole chemistry of the show and stuff because of that. So
ruined the show.
Yeah. So last week we both sucked last week. So that makes it a bit better. So hopefully we'll be recapping UFC 261, talking about all the money that we won. And then we'd be obviously looking ahead. There's always another event the next week, which is good for degens who like betting on people fist fighting, which is, you can't get more degen than that.
I was going to say between the sports that are just consistent, like I'm starting to see where the degens really lie.
Yeah.
It's UFC. Well, it's MMA even furthermore, it's golf. Right. It's tennis. It's these sports that never stop. They just never stop providing you an outlet.
And we keep providing the content. Again, check out the MMA Gambling Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Check out Jeff's picks and writing over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com as well. Subscribe there. Drop him a nice rating and review. And of course, drop us a rating review on Apple Podcasts. Get a chance to win some merch on Merch Monday.
Thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
1 week away, Sean.
Kramer, let it ride.